Cress, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 17th, 1905. Dear Brother Cress, I have received and read your letter, and I will answer it at once, fearing that if I leave it till later, something will occur that will prevent me from writing to you at all. We are pressed on every side with urgent work. For a long time, I have been unable to sleep as I should. But I am endeavoring, by the help of God, to write letters that will be a help, not merely to those to whom they are addressed, but to many others who need them. We see the necessity in many places of the help that you and your wife could give, but we dare not call you from your work in Australia. The Lord is prospering you and giving you health and a precious experience, and you are doing a good work. We praise God that you and your family are in the Warunga Sanitarium. We want you to continue to make a success in that place. I would not dare to say to you, come, unless I had clear light on the point. We must remain where the Lord places us until we have evidence that He desires a change to be made. To exchange you just now for other physicians would not be wise. When the Lord desires you to cross the broad waters, He will let you know. There is a work to do all over the world, and as we near the time of the end, the Lord will impress many minds to engage in this work. If you are able to use your influence in setting in operation the work that needs to be done in Sydney, many souls will be saved who have never yet heard the truth. The cities are to be worked. The saving power of God is to go forth through them as a lamp that burneth. I have had no evidence that Dr. Kellogg's heart has been changed, or that he has given up his erroneous theories. There are hundreds held in Battle Creek who at this very time should be working in the large cities that have never heard the truth. Our sanitariums are to reach a class that can be reached by no other means. Why, asks one and another, is not prayer offered for the miraculous healing of the sick instead of so many sanitariums being established? Should this be done, great fanaticism would arise in our ranks. Those who have much self-confidence would start into action, as did certain ones in Indiana who had a great deal to say about holy flesh. These were carried away by a spiritualistic delusion. At the General Conference of 1901, they were rebuked by a message given me for them by the Lord. Should we carry out the plans that some would be pleased to have us carry out, companies would be formed who would bring in spiritualistic manifestations that would confuse the faith of many. The Lord has opened this matter before me. The perverted habits of the world and the declension of religion have brought in indulgence of appetite and wrong habits of eating and drinking. The world is given over to self-indulgence and extravagance. Our sanitariums are established to educate people in regard to right habits of living. Before our first sanitarium was established, the Lord opened the plan before me, showing me that the work would be solidified if those connected with the institution were men who had a genuine experience and who were fully settled in present truth. Errors will come in, and strange doctrines will be advocated. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. As far back as the establishment of the first sanitarium, these things began to appear. They were similar to the errors that manifested themselves soon after the disappointment of 1844. A strong phase of fanaticism appeared, calling itself the Witness of the Holy Ghost. I was given a message to rebuke this evil work. The light given me was that a sanitarium should be established, and that in it, drug medication should be discarded, and simple, rational methods of treatment employed for the healing of disease. In this institution, people were to be taught how to dress, breathe, and eat properly, how to prevent sickness by proper habits of living. I will send you a copy of a letter written to Brother Burden regarding this subject. The medical missionary work is to be to the third angel's message as the right hand to the body. To be indifferent in regard to the medical missionary work is to dishonor God. The Lord would have perfect harmony prevail among His workers. The strife for advantage in any institution is a curse to that institution, although those connected with the institution may not thus interpret it. Received into the heart, truth exerts a sanctifying, purifying influence, making men and women kind, considerate, tender-hearted. A true appreciation of the plan of salvation will fill us with wonder and love. Our hearts will be melted with the love that Christ has manifested for us. We shall devote ourselves to His service, refusing to allow our time and attention to be taken up with the selfish interests of the world. When Christ abides in our hearts, we have a true conception of the sacrifices that He has made. We understand something of the perfection of the law that He came to magnify and make honorable. The privilege of obedience seems precious to our souls. From age to age, Christ takes His position in His church as a refiner and purifier. He works continually to cleanse the hearts of all who are sincere. But He will separate from those who are bringing in dissension and strife. He will make the path of His true followers bright and certain. Proportionate to the advancement made by the church in holiness will be her increase in strength and influence.